Welcome to The Watchman, your weekly one-hour expose on Bible prophecy and everything you need to know about the times in which we live, because the coming of the Lord is sooner than you think.
Daniel 8:23. The letter end of their kingdom, meaning at the letter end of the human government, the kingdom, the fourth kingdom, that we shall talk about in due course. And he says, at the latter time of their kingdom, Daniel 8:23, when the transgressors have reached their fullness. In Amplified Bible, it says, when the apostate have reached the fullness of their wickedness, taxing the limits of God's mercy. It says, a king of fierce countenance and outstanding dark trickery and craftiness shall rise up. Of course, he's talking about the Antichrist. It goes on to say in verse 24, and his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And shall corrupt and destroy astonishingly, and shall prosper and do his own pleasure, and he shall corrupt and destroy the mighty men and the holy people, the people of the saints. So it talks about a time and the latter time when the transgressors have come to their fullness, when sin has reached its fullness, and there is such a time as that the Bible speaks about. But it also says in 2 Thessalonians actually chapter 2 and verse 7, that the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who restrains it will do so until he is taken out of the way. Now there's a contention about who the Bible is talking about when it says he who restrains it. But says what I'm more interested in is the first part of that verse that says the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. And then says, then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. So in Matthew 24, verse 12, Jesus speaks about a period also towards the end. He says that, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Speaks of a time when there will be a lot of lawlessness, that even believers will find themselves compromising and their love will grow cold. Now, this is a time that we actually are living in right now. I don't think there has been a time such as this, never before, and it's going to get worse, but not much worse, because in my estimation it's as bad as really can get in terms of the surroundings, the level of what the Bible says when the transgressors have reached their fullness in Daniel 23. Now we've spoken about the years of prophecy as they come, as they've been developing throughout. I spoke about the prophecy of Jesus over Jerusalem. I spoke about, of course, 1917. I spoke about 1948, when Israel became a state, which was a very important fulfillment of prophecy, of so many prophecies, speaking about Israel becoming a state. We spoke about Hebrew becoming a language again after it had been wiped away over a period of almost 1900 years of Jews being scattered and speaking languages of the places where they had been scattered, how it became a language again. Nobody knew Hebrew by the time Israel, by the 1920s, nobody knew Hebrew, because all the people that spoke it had been scattered, and of course generations had been born speaking the language of the nations in which they had been scattered. I spoke about that. But 1948, but while God, of course, is plotting out his own map towards the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, almost on the other side, the devil is also doing something to bring out the coming of the Antichrist, whom we shall be talking about. But the Bible says, Paul speaks about the mystery of lawlessness, which was already at work at that time, which is clearly at work now. And he says the mystery of lawlessness creates an atmosphere in which the Antichrist comes and the world is ready to receive him. Remember, the devil copies everything that God does, because if you read the fall of the devil, Isaiah 14 or Ezekiel 28, he said, I will ascend on high, I will lift my throne on high, and I will be like the Most High. He wants to be like God. He wants to get everything that God does and, of course, corrupt it, which is what he does. Now, while, of course, the coming of Christ is being prepared for by brethren and Christians, of course, there is the coming of the Antichrist, okay, who is the devil's counterfeit Christ, and that too there is a movement that also creates an atmosphere conducive for that. You know what happens when Jesus Christ was about to come on earth for the first time, John the Baptist comes. What does the Bible say he comes to do? To prepare the way. So when the whole atmosphere is set, then the Christ appears. Now, it's going to be something of the like in the second coming. But, like I said, the coming of the Antichrist also follows after a similar pattern, because there are things that had to happen and a mystery of lawlessness that had to come to a full, and as Daniel said, the transgressors had to come to their fullness, because it says at the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors have come to their fullness, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark trickery and craftiness shall stand up, talking about the Antichrist. So now in 1948 was a significant year because of Israel being birthed as a nation, which was the beginning of the real end time that we're speaking about, and the beginning of a generation that is not going to pass away until the coming of the Lord. Then the devil started his onslaught. Revelation 13 speaks about the whole chapter. Revelation 13:6 speaks about a one world government, a one world religion, and a one world monetary system. It speaks about them in that order. Starts with the government, moves on to one world religion or religious system, then a one world monetary system, which is going to be the basis on which the Antichrist is going to ride. Now, of course, while Israel was being born as a nation, a number of things were happening across the world that were also of significance, but in an opposite direction. The first one was the United States Supreme Court ruled that religious instruction in public schools violates the Constitution. Now, of course, the United States has played a major role in spreading the Christian faith across the world. And somehow, things that have happened there have tended to mirror the things that happened to the church across. Now, when the government, when the court there ruled that religious instruction in public schools violates the Constitution, that was a major thing. It also happened in 1948. And now you see some things are moving towards the devil also creating a platform for his Antichrist to come. Then the Treaty of Brussels was signed, in which Belgium, France, Luxembourg, Netherlands, and the United Kingdom, between those countries, providing for economic and social and cultural collaboration, some kind of collective self-defense. Now, that was the beginning of something of a European Union, of a European community. But also, and remember, it's in this kind of integration that I'm speaking about, Revelation 13, one world government, one world religion, and one world monetary system. The background of that, now we're as close to that as ever can be. Now, the background of that was laid in 1948, just like the background for the coming of Christ was significantly laid in 1948. Then the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development was founded as the Organization for Economic called Organization of Europe Economic Cooperation. Then I think it was later on termed the EEC, which was European Economic Community, which has now become European Union, which is more or less one country, encompassing so many countries in Europe, with one currency called the euro, with no borders. You require one travel document to go to those countries that belong to the European Union. Of course, there are a few that are outside of it. And so it's basically one country, and this integration, all of that started in 1948 significantly. And in August 23 of that same year, the World Council of Churches was established. Now, World Council of Churches wants to create an atmosphere that says that we all believe in the same God. These ones call him this one call him this, but it's basically the same God, so we can be together, and that's all fine, because we do not have to exclude anybody. Your belief should not exclude anybody. But that is not biblical faith. Biblical faith excludes. That's the truth, because you can't tell me that I believe in the same God as a Muslim. I don't. He's a different God from the Muslims. The God of the Muslims does not have a son. The God of the Christians has a son. His name is Jesus Christ. So it cannot be the same God if he has a son and he doesn't have a son. Those are two different gods. So I don't believe the same as a Muslim, and as well as so many other. You can't say Christians, we are all believing the same God, including Buddhists. They don't believe like me. So it's exclusive. True faith is exclusive. And that's really how it is. But of course, the World Council of Churches tries to gloss over all that and say we can all be right, nobody has to be wrong. There are so many ways to go to one destination. If you're moving to the city center in Kampala, you can pass so many different directions but still come to the same place. Downright deception, okay? Because there are not so many ways, there is one way. There are not so many truths, there is one truth, okay? And you only have to read John 14:6 to know that Jesus says he is the way, not one of the ways, and he is the truth, not one of the possible truths, and he is the life, okay? So without the way and the truth, there is no life. That's simple. So, but of course, as we go, head towards the time that we are speaking about, all that truth is going to be glossed over, and you're invited to join these ecumenical councils in which you are told that you believe the same as everybody else, and faith does not have to be exclusive. It can be inclusive. Anybody can come in and join. I mean, everyone's invited, basically. But also on December 10th of the same year, 1948, the United Nations General Assembly adopted the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. Now, you know what human rights have become since then, and you know it's one of the biggest words being thrown around Uganda right now. Human rights, human rights. But who decides who what the rights are? I mean, who is the custodian of what rights they are? And if you accept one thing, who knows where the next right is going to take you? Because there are so many, I mean, you turn around tomorrow and there is another right that you have to accept. And who decides those things? But also, and very significantly, in 1948, a lady called Alice Bailey published a book which she called The Plan, outlined a 10-point program to rid the world of Judeo-Christian values and introduce a new world order. Now, of course, so many people have heard the term New World Order. Where did it come from? Let me tell you a bit about this lady, Alice Bailey. In her own autobiography, she related that as a child, she was very unhappy. She came from a good family, a fairly, you know, middle-class, well-to-do family, but she was unhappy, and she did not find life worth living. She was having all these problems and attempted suicide 3 times, according to her own story, first at the age of 5, second at 11, and some other time in the early teenage, age that was not specified, but before she was 15. Because at the age of 15, on June 30th, 1895, Bailey says she was visited by a stranger, a tall man, she says, dressed in European clothes and wearing a turban, who told her that she needed to develop self-control and prepare herself for a certain work planned for her to do. She says that time that she supposed that individual was Jesus, but she says she later identified him as Master Kot Homi, what she later called the Tibetan spirit, basically by a demon. And that demon gave her all these theories that all the problems of poverty and income division that were, I mean, existing at the time were caused by the present order. There was a need, therefore, to create a new world order, an order in which people had the same way of thinking, and that was basically better. But of course, that was just the beginning of the story. Then she went out to write that book called The Plan, and in it outlined how to achieve what she called the new world order. And The Plan is a 10-point program on how to introduce the new, so-called new world order. And the book was, she established a publishing company which published the book, because at the time it was such a shocking thing for anybody to do. Very few publishers could have published a book like that, of how to rid the world of Judeo-Christian values, because she was in America, which was a very Christian country, did a lot of her work in Europe, which was as well a very European continent. So it was difficult for her. So she established her own publishing company, and she called it the Lucifer Publishing Company. And then her plan was called the Lucifer Trust. And interestingly, the Lucifer Trust has been fully adopted by the United Nations. And you can check out their website. It is there. It is called the Lucis Trust. They felt that Lucifer is too strong and probably would raise so many eyebrows. So they called it the Lucis Trust, L-U-C-I-S. Go and check it out. You don't have to take my word for it. So in her 10-point program, this is what she said. These are the ways to rid the world of Judeo-Christian values and introduce the new world order. Number one, take God and prayer out of the education system. She said that they should change the curriculum to ensure that children are freed from the bondage of Christianity. She went on to say that if you take God out of education, children will unconsciously form a resolve that God is not necessary to face life. then she said that not just take God out, but introduce other things like transcendental meditation in schools, meant to alter the consciousness of children, kind of prepare them to meet spirits and things like that. And at the time she wrote these things, there was so much resistance towards it. I mean, her book was repulsive across America. Who does she think she is? How can she? But she just went ahead and did her thing. The book was published by the Lucifer Publishing Company, and called The Plan. Number two, she said that reduce parental authority over children. Her idea was that parents were too grounded in their Christian values, so they were kind of a lost generation. But now to introduce a new generation of children, break off the control of the parents over the children, okay? And promote excessive child rights. I'm sure you've seen it all over your newspaper. Children have rights. Children have rights. And you think, yeah, that's good, you know, and but you don't know. But the basis of it is absolute evil, because she says that, and these, all these things are being promoted by the UNICEF Charter, okay? Abolish caning or the rod, which they call corporal punishment, okay? But the Bible says the best way to punish a child is through the rod. Why? Because it causes temporary pain and creates a permanent lesson in a child. There is no pain that lasts more than a few minutes when you use the stick. Not abusively, but correctively. Okay? Now, all the other things, all the other modes of correction of children that have been introduced, all of them have psychological damage on the children. The Bible is always right. Okay? But, of course, according to this trust, promote excessive child rights. Now, tell children that they have a right not to be punished. Now, of course, our teachers are custodians of this. Children are told at schools in some of those countries that if your parent touches you in discipline, regardless of what you've done, call the police. And if the police come, they can take the children away and take custody of the children. So it creates a scenario in which children are a law unto themselves. Of course, that creates a lawless generation. And they know what they are doing. Don't think they don't know. They know what they were doing. They know the meaning of this. Sweden was the first country to abolish so-called corporal punishment, that is, disciplining of children, in 1989. 16 years later, they had the highest rate of teen suicides. Is that related? Of course it is. Children who are not disciplined become wayward. Now they have serious problems with teen suicides, not just that. Teenage pregnancies, of course there are all the abortions now, so kind of thinking, getting rid of the problem, and all these other things. The countries that introduced them exactly those years later had serious problems with teenagers. Why? Because children who are not disciplined have problems. And of course, the Bible knows that. The Bible says that. The Bible is the manufacturer's manual, and it's always right. But of course, according to this plan, teachers are supposed to be the agents of the implementation. They tell the children, your parent has no right to force you to do anything, much less to pray or to read the Bible. If your parent forces you to pray, just call the police. You have a right not to do anything. Okay? So you have your own rights. So they use words like, you know, this whole thing is bathed in words. Eh? They use words like discovering yourself. You should be given time to discover yourself. Then they use self-expression, self-realization, self-fulfillment. Those are the words they use to children and tell them that your life is your own. You can do anything you want. You don't have to be disturbed by your parents or by any form of discipline. What kind of children does that produce? Well, you know. The third step in Alice Bailey's thing was destroy the Judeo-Christian family structure. The family structure, which everybody knew. Father, mother, children. And of course, that family structure is the basis of almost all morality. Children are taught the best things about life in the family. But the idea was destroy that. How? Create, so many ways. First of all, promote sexual promiscuity. Let young people be told that they can enjoy sex free. Lift it so high and make them fantasize over it and everything, you know. And just to destroy the whole family thing, use media, okay, to achieve that purpose. All these outlined in that book, okay. Now you see all this almost explosion of sexual innuendo everywhere you go, from advertising, regardless of what they are advertising, even if they're advertising, ice cream, somehow there's going to be you know, somebody in a bikini, you know, all that. And it didn't just come up. There was a plan for it. Number four, legalize abortion and make it easily accessible. Build clinics for abortion, even in schools. If people are going to enjoy sex all the time, then they need to be freed from unnecessary fears like pregnancies. Therefore, if teenagers don't want to get pregnant, no sweat, just walk in and out of an abortion clinic. Now, of course, so many governments pay for those abortion clinics to make them free. Okay, but you know, the world has changed so much. In 1965, all 50 of American states held abortion as illegal. Okay, except in very rare circumstances. For instance, when the life of a mother was severely threatened, you cannot have a child. If you dared have a child, possibly both of you were going to die. Only then would you be permitted to have an abortion. But of course now, everything has changed. I think it's legal everywhere. In 1973, the Supreme Court ruled that all anti-abortion laws are unconstitutional. Now, these are important years because 1973 was the final year that Israel fought to defeat their enemies in the Yom Kippur War. Now, in the same year, the Supreme Court ruled that all anti-abortion laws are unconstitutional, and therefore abortion was legalized. And that began the current, you know, carnage of young children. Number five, make divorce easy. Free people from the concept, okay, of marriage for life. I mean, marriage is not supposed to be for life. Bailey said the attraction between a man, according to this lady, the attraction between a man and a woman is supposed to be temporary. It fades. Don't waste too much time trying to revive it. If you love this woman and after 1 week you don't love her, no problem. It's okay. If you're married, go and divorce. No problem. Move on to the next. Attraction is supposed to be that way. That is the culture they are trying to promote. That's the culture they were trying to promote. And it's all planned. I want you to see that nothing of this comes by mistake. Okay? In attacking the family structure, there are so many things that happen. For instance, do you know that in Uganda, the marriage and divorce bill was heavily sponsored by the donors? What interest do donors have in determining how we marry and divorce? I mean, where is their interest in all of that? Why were they so interested in ensuring that there's this marriage and divorce bill? Now, of course, MPs were paid 5 million shillings each to go and consult their constituencies and find out what they think about it. Of course, they were not supposed to find out. They were supposed to come and pass a law which nobody wanted and nobody needed. Because for us, we still hold family in high esteem. Marriage is not entirely an institution that can be reduced to laws, okay? Because there are other laws that govern marriage. Laws of attraction, of love, you know, family, of the Bible laws. You cannot put it down to laws. But of course, if they do that, then they make it very lucrative for people to marry and divorce. So they create professional wives, people who marry people for money and then divorce the next day and then get half of the estate, then go and marry somebody. You know, the things, problems that they've had. But they are promoting all these things across the world. And even paying a lot of money for them. Now, why are they so interested? Why were donors so interested in the marriage and divorce bill? Ask yourself that. I mean, how does that, they call themselves development partners. Where does that improve development when people divorce a lot? Where is that of interest to them? We know where their interests are. We know that all the other interests, even those that are hidden, we know. But why were they so interested in the marriage and divorce law? But of course, no, very few people ask these questions. Even very serious politicians will get money and start defending these things in the guise of women's rights. But it's not women's rights. It is just outright a plan, the plan, okay? Alice Bailey's plan, which was rooted in Satanism, published by a publishing company called the Lucifer Publishing Company. I'm trying to tell you that all this is pushing towards what they call the New World Order without God. Okay? And you will not understand where all this is coming from if you think it's natural, but it is spiritual. If you think that this is just, I mean, it's just natural things, it's to be expected, and all these things. Somebody was asking me, who benefits from these things? Why are they pushing for them so hard? Who is the beneficiary? Okay? And until you understand that there are two kingdoms fighting for the attention of men. There is the kingdom of God and there is the kingdom of the devil. There are no in-betweens. You either belong one way or belong the other way. There is no gray area. Okay? So that which is not pushing for the coming of the true Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, is pushing for the coming of the Antichrist, who is going to cause deception to grow across the world and sell a big lie and send millions and billions to hell. That is the whole thing. So it's one way or the other. There are no in-betweens in all of these things. So you just have to understand that everything, all these things that you see, arguments, debates, and what, and people pushing, and so interested in things that really they shouldn't be interested in, like the marriage and divorce bill, which makes marriage look like a joke. Okay, the law is supporting, basically making marriage look like a joke. I mean, we still kind of take it seriously, us, but they don't, and they want us to. You should know where the origin of all these things is, because it is easy to start believing them and even promoting them with the rest of the people, even if you're Christian, unless you know the origin of it, and unless you know which side you are supposed to be on. Now, we are on the side of preparing the way for the coming of the King of Kings. We are not on the side of preparing the way for the coming of Antichrist. So you have to know which side you're on, and you will know when you understand the origin of so many of the debates that you see in the media. We're continuing with our message here. I'm talking about the 10-point program released by a lady called Alice Bailey, was a known esotericist, a devil worshipper, on how to rid the world of Judeo-Christian values. Number six, you talked about make homosexuality an alternative lifestyle. And in this segment, she says, since sexual enjoyment is to be promoted as the highest pleasure in humanity, no one must be restricted on how to enjoy it. So whether it's homosexuality, whether it is incest, whether it is bestiality, as long as two people agree, that is okay. That is what she says. Now, now of course, there's all these human rights talking about homosexuals, you know, accept homosexuality as an alternative way of style, I mean, way of life, homosexuality, transgenders, and things like that. But who knows where it is going after that? If you accept that, the next one is going to be bestiality, and our law stipulates a punishment for people who sleep with animals. But some laws around the world do not, and this lady has made it clear that that's where they are heading. Even incest, they are trying to destroy everything on which the whole foundation of Judeo-Christianity is built. So family structures destroyed, homosexuality promoted, incest promoted, and bestiality. Now, the other day I was reading the newspaper of a man who married a dog in California. Okay? And what amused me was the comments of the priest. The priest who was joining them in matrimony said that this is a very wonderful function. This is the true meaning of love. We are very privileged to be alive in such a time as this. And the man said he was going to enjoy his honeymoon with his dog in the United States state of Montana, where bestiality is permitted. Bestiality is the practice of sleeping with animals. So here is a man who is marrying a dog and is actually going to sleep with it, okay? And have, you know, and somehow it's all over the news, it's big news, and nobody seems to see that where we are heading. Now, of course, there is already a lobby of, people will say that people have the right to sleep with the animals, bestiality. So after homosexuality, then the next is bestiality, then the next is incest, and all these things are on the menu. You accept one, they'll bring the next. You accept the next, they'll bring the next. The mystery of deception goes deeper and deeper. Evil does not stop somewhere. It goes deeper and deeper. You have to stop it at some stage, okay? Now, right now, after the anti-homosexuality bill was signed by the president, thank God for that, because now there's a lot of money being fronted by anybody who can stand up and defend the rights of homosexuals. I mean, anybody who doesn't have a conscience, that is. And some journalists are eating big, flying first class, sleeping in five-star hotels, going to lecture in countries, how they are fighting for the rights, okay, of gays in Uganda and things like that. And of course, a few people get rich from it, but they are not making a choice between getting money and not getting money. They are making a choice between for eternity, okay? And people who sacrifice their conscience for a few dollars here and there, before they know it, will have sealed their eternity. I'll tell you how that is, because the truth is, evil men get worse and worse. The Bible says that. Paul talked about that. In the last days, evil men will become worse and worse, and it's heading there. So now there's already a lobby. Very soon, even having sex with young children, there will be somebody lobbying for it. I mean, if young children have rights, if they can have rights to decide their own future, then they might as well have rights to decide to sleep with somebody. So the next thing you know, somebody is saying it's okay to have sex with an 8-year-old. I mean, we are heading there. We have to stop somewhere. You understand? Now, I want you to understand that all this is rooted in the devil. There is no two ways. There are two kingdoms, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the enemy. There are no gray areas. You either belong one way or the other. There is no middle ground. Okay, now somewhere somebody had to put their foot down and say we are not going to accept practices that are alien to our faith. Okay, but of course people are being arm twisted. You'll be denied visas if you stand up for what you believe and things like that. And of course a few people are, well, basically getting scared and taking off for their life. But the truth is, somebody has to stand up and fight for their conscience. And I think the time is now. Number seven, she says, debase the art. Arts meaning especially music and drama, movies and things like that. And you listen to the music that is being sung out there. Listen to the lyrics of some of the songs that are being sung, and how, I mean, the first time I heard some of the songs from the late 80s and 90s, I'm thinking this is far too promiscuous. But they have gone worse than that. Now they are clearly attacking the concept of God. And you have rap stars saying that they are, you know, challenging Jesus Christ to a fight. You know, it's all creating lawlessness. And Jesus said, because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Number 8, he said, use the media to promote those theories and change the mindset of people. Media, of course, includes, I mean, so many things, television, cinemas, billboards, magazines, newspapers. And who controls them? Well, the people who are promoting these things are the ones who control the media. So you'll find, that's why when Uganda signed, when the president signed the anti-homosexuality bill, you should have seen the kind of coverage we got on the world media. It was like Uganda was descending into some kind of holocaust now that homosexuals were outlawed, as they always actually have been. I mean, I was listening to CNN, and some of the things in there were absolutely false, downright false, people creating. But anyway, they control the media as well. Use pornography. That is part of all this, which the last time I checked was a $3.5 billion industry in America. And when there was the credit crunch and all, and people were asking for money from government, you remember that time around 2008 and 2009, when banks were being bailed out in America, and basically in the West, banks bailed out and other corporations that employ so many people, including car manufacturing companies, were being bailed out. What happened? Even the pornography industry asked for a bailout from government. And their rationale was that since people are losing jobs and houses, they need something to relax their minds. So they wanted the government to spend money on pornography. I mean, that's, and you just look at how the movies and how they, what they create. Where do you think the whole culture of 90% of the time you watch a sexual scene in a movie, it is between people who are not married. 90% of the time, only 10% do they show it when in the picture they are depicted as people who are married. So it's all been part of number 9. They say create an interfaith movement. Okay, I told you how that started in 1948, Council of Churches. Then they say promote other faith to be at par with Christianity, and break this thing about Christianity being seen as the only way to heaven. Promote the importance of men determining their own destiny. It is called humanism. Number 10, after you've done all that, get the government to make these into law and force the church to endorse them. Okay? Now they make laws and they force the church to endorse them. Now, of course, churches in some countries cannot even... I was reading a pastor who in Sweden was going to be arrested for simply reading the part of the Bible that speaks about homosexuality. He did not even make a commentary on it. He just read it. Okay? He just said what is written about homosexuality, and that was enough to arrest him. Now, of course, if the laws are passed that favor them, okay, then somehow the church will have to endorse, because if you don't, then you're arrested and things like that. So, and force the church to embrace this whole New World Order thing, the New Age movement, which is rooted in, if it doesn't hurt anybody, then go ahead and do it. It's okay. Actually, it's rooted in, the whole New Age thing is rooted in, if you want to do it, go ahead and do it. There is no law. There is nothing forbidding you. Just go and have fun if that's what you want to do. It's a belief in humanism, and the belief that the only God there is you. Okay, you are the only God there is. So since there is no supreme God, there is no accountability. So people can do as they please. Of course, the reason so many people are curtailed by so many things is because they know there is God and we are accountable to him. But if now they can convince you that there is no God, you are the only God, that there is going to be, when you die like a cat, that's the end of it, he doesn't have a spirit or a soul that is going anywhere, then you are not accountable to anybody, so go ahead and do whatever you want. But 2 Thessalonians 2:9 says, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them a strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. When you listen to the truth and deliberately refuse to believe it, and because you love unrighteousness, then the Bible says, yeah, God sends you a strong delusion, and then you'll believe a lie. You'll believe all the lies that are being told, and your fate eternally will be determined. A delusion is based on flattery. It's based on thinking highly of yourself. I mean, if you're poor and you pretend to be rich, then you are deluded, because you're living a world that you are not. But of course, you cannot be rich and you delude yourself that you're poor. Okay, because the delusion speaks of implies thinking higher of yourself than you really are. So now this whole thing, the flattery, we are, you know, so important. We are the only God. We can do anything. Promoting skills, you know, how to maximize your potential outside of God. That is, of course, you can maximize it in God, and the Bible speaks about that and all these things. That is what the whole New World Order is about. Now, of course, United Nations set up what is called the Alliance of Civilizations, which was set up in 2005, and its purpose is to reduce tensions across cultural divides, especially between Muslim and Western civilizations. Those tensions that threaten to inflame existing political conflicts or trigger new ones. And according to their website, their mission statement is to amplify voices of moderation. So if you're Christian, be moderate, don't go too far. I mean, be acceptable, accept homosexuals, they love, you know, God, you know, those things which people are believing, you know, they're also created by God, so we have to love. And it starts that way, but that's not where it is going to go. That's not where it's ending. I'm telling you where it is going. There is already a lobby for bestiality. Very soon people will be sleeping with animals, and you will be told that is also okay, because they love the animals, like that man in California. Then the next thing, people will be sleeping with their sisters, and no, it's okay, because they are both adults. And all barriers will be removed, and that is exactly where it is heading. And we know where it started from, we know how far they have gone in their agenda, and we know where it is going. And one of the enemies for the Alliance of Civilizations, according to their website, is those who have exclusivist ideology, which they define as those who feed on exclusion and claim sole ownership of the truth. So if a Christian says Christ is the only way to heaven, then you are an enemy of civilization, because there are so many ways. You have to accept other ways. Who do you think you are to own, to have the, to be in possession of the only truth? I mean, you have to accept other people. That's what the New World Order is about. And in 1989, Mikhail Gorbachev published a book called Perestroika, in which he was talking about the New World Order. After he ceased to be the president of the Soviet Union when it collapsed, he got a new mission in life to create this so-called New World Order. And he said the biggest, and he ganged up religious exclusivism, that is believing that you have the truth and yours is the truth. He put it together with genocide. So there's going to be a time when, if you say that you are the sole possessor of the truth, if you say I'm a Christian and I believe in John 14:6 that Christ is the only way, is the way, the truth and the life, not a way, he is the way, there is no other way. If you believe that, then you'll be ganged together with genocide. People who are committing genocide, they are ganging them together. That's where we are headed. Okay? And on June 4th, 2009, President Barack Obama, in a historic speech in Cairo, at the University of Cairo, said that faith should bring us together. And he's one of the biggest promoters of this so-called New World Order, this world, godless world order. He says, faith should bring us together, and that's why we are forging service projects in America to bring Christians, Muslims, and Jews together. Then he says, we can turn dialogue into interfaith service, so bridges between peoples lead to action, whether it is combating malaria in Africa or providing relief over a natural disaster. So, I mean, Christians, Muslims come together. Now there's something called Chrislam, in which somehow Christians and Islams have found middle ground, and both of them are right, so we don't have to be exclusive, and everything that goes against sound biblical teaching. Okay, and in that same speech in Cairo, he says, this truth, the truth that he's preaching, the New World Order truth, transcends nations and transcends peoples. It is a belief that isn't new, that isn't black, or that isn't white or brown. It is not Christian or Muslim or Jew. It is a faith in people. That is humanism. You believe in yourself. There is no other God apart from you, so you don't have to be accountable to anybody. Just do what you want. Only, of course, there is a God, and if you think you're not accountable, you will be, and you'll end up in the fires of hell. If you think there is no God and you're not accountable, of course, you don't have to. You can believe in Jesus Christ and book your ticket to heaven and the rapture. Okay? That is a decision. But if people hear the truth for so long and refuse to believe it, the Bible says God sends them a strong delusion, and then they find it so easy to believe the lie because they refused to believe the truth. when they had a chance to, and when they knew it was the truth, they knew it. They just refused to believe it. Why? Because they took pleasure in unrighteousness. So he goes on to say that it's the people of this world can live together in peace. That's Barack Obama. But you know, the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:3, when they say peace and safety, sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. That's what the Bible says. So you find words that are being thrown around by everybody. I mean, the international community thinks this. Who is the international community? Have you ever stopped to think who is the international community? And who decides for them? I mean, which voices decide what the international community are? Have you ever been invited to any meeting? Has your president ever been invited to any meeting of the so-called international community? What makes them an international community? What makes them decide which countries should be ostracized? Now, recently, Russia. Okay, so the international community has decided to blacklist Russia. I mean, who are they? Who are the international community? So they will use, they throw words around. I mean, exclusiveness, religious bigotry, okay, religious dogma, and all the things that are going to make it look. Now you find, now they have made, or there's all this atheism movement in which somebody who is, you know, anybody just has to say they're an atheist, and suddenly they sound so intelligent and so learned and so exposed. It's all rooted in deception. But if people listen to the truth and refuse to believe the truth, then they will believe a lie. And there is a strong lie, and it is rooted in one. The Bible says that the whole world is under the sway, under the control of the evil one. Now, the world does not include you if you're a Christian, because Jesus says that you are in the world, but you are not of the world. If you believe like them, if you start thinking like them, if you don't know where to put your foot down and say this is not right, if you start saying, let's accept these things, we accept them, you don't know where it is heading. I'm telling you, this plan was written in 1948. The book was first published in 1948. It created outrage in Europe and America. How can somebody think like that? But within a short time, all those things were being passed. The Interfaith Council was created. Abortion was legalized. Homosexuality is being promoted. Where does all that... Somebody was asking me today, who is the beneficiary of homosexuality? How come there is so much money to promote? Who is the end beneficiary? Who is the person who is so interested in it? And the truth is, these are spiritual battles. There is a kingdom that is behind this, the kingdom of the enemy. Okay? And you, if you're a Christian, belong to the kingdom of God. You have to know which side you are on. Don't get soft on things which you are supposed to put your foot down on, okay? Because this is laying a foundation for the coming of the Antichrist. If you do not know where to draw the line, then when the Antichrist comes, you will find yourself taking the mark of the beast as well, because you do not know where to put your foot down. So I'm going to end it here. Thank you so much for listening to me. We are getting deeper and deeper into this. Like I told you, you can contact me on ugandanwatchman@gmail.com or on the Facebook page by that same name, Ugandan Watchman. This is the time for us to stand up for what we believe. Stand up for conscience.
That was The Watchman, with fascinating insight into the end times. Join us again next week for another update on Bible prophecy.